fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to talk again today about the teaching of Jesus from the Gospel of John. The church gives us these gospel readings as we continue to make our way through this Easter season between the celebration of our Lord's resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a key theme and the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives to us. And if you haven't a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there. You can listen to them. This whole week I've been speaking, as I said, about the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, its central importance in the Christian life. And it's so key for the church to be able to live with the vitality, with the passion, with the courage, and the hope that's meant to characterize the life of all of Jesus' disciples, those who are followers of Jesus, to be filled with so much hope and love and faith. That comes from living with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit who has been sent to us. And as the Lord tells us, he's come to dwell in us, and he dwells in his churches in a temple, but he also dwells within every single baptized believer and follower of Jesus as in a temple. And he's come to really guide us, to lead us to all truth, Jesus will tell us. Today's reading, John 16, verses 12 and following. So Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and he will declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." There's a lot in that very short passage. So Jesus is saying to his friends, you know, he had just told them in the end of chapter 14 that he wasn't going to be with them much longer, that the devil was coming after him, that the devil had no hold on him, but Jesus was permitting the devil literally to lead him to Calvary, where Jesus would offer himself as a sacrifice for our sin, for the salvation of the world, which we celebrate, obviously, through this whole Easter season. So Jesus, even though he's been teaching them all along, he said, "I have much to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. The Holy Spirit will come, will be given, and he will continue to speak and to lead." And what the Holy Spirit's mission is to first reveal the truth about the victory of Jesus over the powers of sin and death and his reigning in glory at the right hand of the Father and the eternal plan of God unfolding. It's the Spirit that brings us conviction and faith about Jesus and gives us a capacity both to see it, believe it, and then to entrust our lives to him. But the Holy Spirit will also, he said, guide us to all truth as we walk out our faith on a daily basis. There's a tremendously important thing for us to see. Jesus connects the Spirit with truth. He also connects truth, and St. Paul does as well, truth with freedom. All three of these realities are connected. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's the source. He's the one who leads us to grasp the truth about God, about ourselves, the origin, the purpose, the destiny of each one of our lives, but also of God's good creation, God's purpose, his plan, his economy. The Holy Spirit brings about in us a transformation, giving us a renewed mind, as St. Paul tells us. So we begin to think like Christ. We begin to value what Christ values. Here's an example of the transformation that needs to happen and what the Holy Spirit will lead us. Jesus speaks so much about obedience. And the Holy Spirit's given to us and we're called to obey the lead of the Holy Spirit. And the word obedience is kind of a bad word in our day. Nobody seems to like the word obedience. Jesus loved the word obedience. Jesus said, "I come to do the will of my Father. My food is to do his will." So Jesus is showing us in his own life what a rational, fulfilled, good, holy human life looks like. A fulfilled human life, a purposeful human life. It's the creature, you and me, being rightly ordered to my Creator, the one who made me for a purpose. He designed me for a purpose. He designed me for happiness and fulfillment with Him. And the only way to get there, Jesus shows us, is to obey. What does it mean to obey? To say yes to God, to do God's will. Jesus said, literally, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, I love the Father. The Father knows I love Him because I keep His commandments. I obey His purpose for me. I agree with Him. I align my heart, my mind, and my will with His purpose. And I do it because I know, first of all, that He loves me, that I owe it to Him because He's my Father, He's my Creator. But I know deep down He's totally trustworthy. And His plans for me are good. He deserves my trust. He deserves my absolute surrender. Jesus is saying, this is sanity. The center of all things is love. The road to happiness is love, but God's love, self-donating love. Love that says yes to God. Love for Jesus is expressed in obedience. It's not just a feeling. It's saying yes to Him and conforming our lives, forming our lives with Jesus. He came to bear witness to the truth. You know, the author of Revelation says He's the faithful witness, He's the firstborn from the dead, and He's the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth. That's Jesus. The first thing He says, He's the faithful witness. He came, friends, to teach us. He came to save us. But in the process, He came to show us the way. What does it mean to be human? What is a fulfilled human life? What does it mean to be a winner? You know, the world of, I'm going to be a winner. You know, I'm on top of the mountain. What does it really mean to win? What does to win mean? Well, to win means to win the prize, as St. Paul said. He said, I count everything I used to value. Paul says, before I met Christ, I understood the purpose of everything. Then the Holy Spirit led me to truth. All the things I used to value, my bloodlines, my achievements, my name, my power, my influence, my possessions, all of it I count as horse manure. It's manure. It is absolutely worthless and it's passing. The real gold is Christ. He's the pearl of great price. Why? Because He's the answer to the longing of every human heart, and He's the source of a new creation. He's literally the only one who can bring me into everything my heart desires, and beyond that, what God reveals to me. So Jesus expresses love through obedience. And obedience means to want what the Father wants. And for Jesus, obedience is not oppression. It's not my ruin. It doesn't take away my freedom. Obedience is life. Obedience is fulfillment. Jesus says yes to the Father because He wants to honor the Father and obey the Father and show His love for the Father. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 17, the reason the Father loves me because I lay down my life. He's saying essentially, the Father has called me to Calvary, to lay down my life for the salvation of His entire creation. And He entrusts it all to me. And that's what I'm going to do. Do you see how set Jesus' mind and heart is on the will of the Father and on obeying Him? It's Jesus' very glory. Jesus doesn't give a hoot what the world thinks. He doesn't care what the movers and shakers have to say. He's not living in the mind of other people for their approval. He knows it's utterly meaningless. Literally, it's a trap. It's a lie. It's laughable. Oh, I have to live in the right neighborhood. Oh, I have to drive the right car. I have to clothes. I have to be with the right set of people. It's just nowhere. All the saints followed suit. They all understood. What matters is Christ, the pearl of great price, and living with God forever. That's it. And being everything in this world that God has called us to be. So Jesus loves obedience, but the world today twists it. Jesus says, really, to do the will of my Father is my very food. There's nothing more important than that. Obedience is to do what the Father wants. Well, the world is more like the math we do. Even in the church, people will do this. Well, God wants me, if there is a God, God wants me to be happy. Well, to be happy, if I'm going to be happy, I got to get what I want. Therefore, God wants me to have what I want, to get what I want. God exists in order to make me happy and to answer my desires. God exists somehow to affirm my designs for my life. My food ends up being to do my will, not God's will. How do I end up defining God's will? I define God's will by saying what I want. What I determine is good for me. That's what's going on in the world, friends. The dimension of this fallen world that is radically opposed to God is always about that. My will be done. No one will tell me what to do. I will define my own meaning of happiness. I will have it my way. And the world is a safe place, a wonderful place, and its hope is in me. It's in us, right? It's not in God and God's plan and God's purpose, because someone else's commands, someone else's will gets in the way of my will. And therefore, if my will isn't completely unencumbered and absolutely autonomous, I can't be happy and I can't be free. So I must insist on my own way. So the world rejects God's claim on his creation. The world rejects God's diagnosis of this creation. It's not a fallen world that needs to be reclaimed. It's not a place where the great drama, the battle between the kingdoms is unfolding, where there's a drama of contested authorities happening in this world, where the enemy has usurped the authority of God and is enslaving the human race. No, we don't want any of that, because we don't want to depend on God. We have all the answers in our own hands. We are the answer for all the world's problems. We're going to fix the world. And we're going to fix the world by our own intelligence, by our own resources. And the world's going to continue to progress. And it's all because of us and because of our goodness. It's a lot of utopian fantasy. It's not happening. The world is not progressing. Yeah, we're developing more technology. Knowledge is growing. But are we better people? Is it a more peaceful world? Is there more harmony? Is there recognition of God who created us? There's none of that. It's a fantasy. It's a deception. And it goes back to this problem between the way Jesus views the purpose of humanity, to obey God with all our hearts and mind and strength, to have the will of another be our very food, and to reject the unhealthy food, the poison of my own will. It's worth thinking about, friends. Have a great day. Say yes to God today with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.